And I think this past year with COVID, we can all kind of understand of what it looks like to realize that we aren't in control. And as humans, that's incredibly uncomfortable. If you've ever been in the ocean and you try to fight it and it totally pulls you under and you're kicking and don't know which way is up, like that is how so many of us go through life. And there was a point, I think, where I learned to kind of open my hands of like, I can't control this. This happened and all I can do is deal with it and let whatever comes up. Somehow try to trust God in the process, which is still a daily battle. The freedom that comes from surrendering and being like, I actually don't have control of this life. You know, there's things I can control, but if you've ever experienced being in the ocean and just floating and letting the waves take you, like that is the imagery I think I'm going for with this idea of high tides, the most raw and difficult moments of your life, and learning to just open your hands and let it take you and trusting that somehow God knows what he's doing.
Welcome, friends, to The Foxhole. My name is Joe Ferris, and I want to personally welcome you and let you know how honored I am that you downloaded the podcast and that you're going to spend a few minutes paying attention, hopefully to a holy conversation with a good friend and a best-selling author, Catherine Plesinski, a young lady who I keep saying to her over and over again is an old soul. I've said to her a bunch of times she's a great, beautiful mix of Henry Nouwen and Flannery O'Connor. She's a writer who, as you read it, you feel like you are entering her heart. And after you read her stuff on grief and on living broken in this world, you're encouraged to be a better human and a better Catholic. And ultimately, you're challenged to allow God to love you in more profound ways. So my friends, this is going to be a tough conversation in some areas because Catherine shares some pretty honest stuff about losing her best friend, about her parents' divorce, and even a little bit about just being a little wayward at this point in her life. So I challenge you to share this podcast with some young adult in your life that might be encouraged or challenged to hear it. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, open my lips that my mouth proclaim your praise. I pray, God, for Catherine, the ministry that she's doing, the book that she's written. God, I pray that it leads souls closer to you. I pray, God, for anyone who's downloaded the podcast, that we can hear and be encouraged and challenged. And I pray, God, that we can, and through the intercession of the great Father Emil Capon, that we can learn to walk with each other, not just when it's easy, Lord, but in the times it's tough. I pray for all those that have downloaded the podcast who are in tough times right now, Lord. I pray that they can be surrounded by people who will accompany them on the journey, just as Father Capon did with his men. Not only in the ordinary day-to-day, but in the extraordinarily tough moments in that prison of war camp. I pray all of this to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of my Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Welcome to the Foxhole, Catherine Plesinski.
Welcome.
It's so exciting to have you here. I think it's going to be important for the audience. They don't know you as well as I do. I remember this young, excited girl from Xavier University eating at our dinner table who has done quite a bit since then. But I'd love it, just for the sake of those that are tuning in right now, just share a little bit about who Catherine is and how she finds herself here on the podcast today.
Yeah, Joe. I remember you always just being so hospitable and always supporting me ever since we met. And I just appreciate that so much, supporting my story and who I am. I'm from Denver, Colorado. And, you know, I was always very drawn to God. Even as a little girl, I remember for assignments talking about, you know, who do you want to meet? And I'm drawing pictures of Jesus and dream vacations. I said I wanted to go to heaven. And while other kids were saying they wanted to become actors or baseball players, I was like, I want to be a nun and adopt kids from Africa. And my mom was like, who is this child? But I think God has always pursued me even at a really young age. And I really appreciate the way that my parents raised me, going to Catholic school and introducing me to the faith, but it was never forced upon me. And it wasn't really until high school and my parents divorced, that I started going to Mass by myself and totally just fell in love with the Mass. And it was like 1 hour of peace for me. And I think that's really when my faith journey became my own, and just came to know God in such an intimate and personal way. And went to Xavier for college out in Cincinnati. That's where I met you at Dynamic Catholic. And I think in college was kind of when it shifted for me of, you know, I love God deeply, to, wow, I have this desire for other people to experience this joy and peace that I'm experiencing. And it's been kind of a journey from there.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because most folks graduate from college and can't wait to get in the corporate world or the business world. You chose a fairly different path. It's kind of become normal now. I think focus is a big deal in the Catholic world. But talk to us a little bit about why focus, why you went into missionary life, and maybe even for the sake of making the journey personal, tell us a few glory stories from the journey.
So this will actually kind of lead into my book, but I went on a mission trip with Focus my sophomore year of college. I went to Peru, and it was incredible. And I was like, wow, I would love to do this. And I was thinking, when I graduate, more so third world country mission. And it was my senior year of college, and my best friend attended SEEK, which is a Focus conference, and texted me while she was there. And she was like, hey, I feel like I got this calling for you to become a Focus missionary. I feel like you would love it. I was just talking to someone who does it, and I was like, this is you. And at the time, knowing that you fundraise your salary, move wherever they place you, have to go on a dating fast for a year, I was kind of brushed it off. And a month later, my best friend passed away. And, you know, I was replaying all of our conversations and was like, yeah, this is kind of in honor of her, I think. And I was at her funeral, and one of the priests who knows her really well came up to me and said, I feel like you have a missionary heart. And I hadn't told anyone what Courtney had said to me. And I was like, it's really weird you say that, because actually a month ago, Courtney told me she got a calling for me to become a Focus missionary. And he was like, oh my gosh, Curtis Martin is here. Let me introduce you. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just trying to like get through the day. Please stop trying to like plan my future. But after that, I went into Focus, and it was for sure the most interiorly transformative chapter of my life, I think, for myself, because, you know, I'm in adoration for an hour every day. I'm going to Mass every day. How can you not interiorly be changed from that? But as far as watching the students at Boise State was so beautiful, because I feel like I got a front row seat watching these college students be transformed by an intimate and personal relationship with God. And it was such a blessing. I led a sorority Bible study, and there was specifically one girl who, you know, perfect student, she was standards for her sorority, and we became closer and closer, and watching her journey of, she kind of had this breaking open of realizing that these worldly successes were no longer really able to identify who she was. And I remember her crying with me of like, I'm going to step down from this position. And I don't know what to do, because these ways I've always kind of earned love are falling apart. And I was just smiling as she was crying. And I was like, no, this is so good. Like, this is exactly where you need to be. And watching the way that, you know, she fell in love with the church, and but then watching her love for the Catholic Church change into this deeply personal experience of God, and her learning that she didn't have to do anything to earn love, and that that would always be there, and that would sustain who she was. It was just like so beautiful to watch. And that's one of many things I got to see kind of on a daily basis.
Catherine, you're a best-selling author, and I was blessed to get a little early look at your book, which absolutely wrecked me in a positive way. So talk a little bit about why you wrote the book, who you wrote it for, And maybe even a little bit about the process of how a person writes a book. I think all of us would be curious about that.
My book is called High Tides and Open Hands. And during the pandemic, you know, I started writing, and I think, yeah, like you said, I didn't plan exactly to write a book. It kind of poured out of me, and I've always wanted to write a book. I never thought I would do it at 25 and that it would happen in less than a year. But I started as sort of a way for me to process myself of my own grief journey. Writing has always been an outlet for me. And I kind of went back through my different journal entries of, you know, my process of grief, and I compiled it all together. And I was able to see my grief from almost a higher perspective, where I could see, you know, I can tell by the way I'm writing here that I'm in denial or I'm angry here. And eventually I started adding on to this compilation of my grief and just the different ways that putting everything together, I could then see the exact things that hardened me through my process and the things that healed me. And, you know, the thing that hurt me, which I think was people not being there for me, was also the very thing that healed me. And I really wanted to write this book for people grieving, because I felt like a lot of people were rushing me to move on, you know, hearing, all right, it's time to get over this. Courtney would want you to be happy. I think part of me writing this was I was fighting for that space to grieve for myself, but for other people. I wanted other people who are grieving to not feel that rush and to be able to grieve however they need, however long they need.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Catherine, we've talked about you being a Xavier student, a focused missionary, now a best-selling author. 25-year-old person has to deal with grief. I know, knowing some of your story that the audience doesn't know, that you've had this experience of life that's deeper than the average person, in the sense that you've had to deal with some pretty heavy stuff as a young child, I think with your parents' divorce, which you've already mentioned, and then also with losing your best friend. Why is it that folks struggle so much with grief? Like, it's easier just to avoid it or act like it's not happening. Speak in a little bit to what you felt and maybe what the Lord placed on your heart as you're writing this book in that area.
So the subtitle to my book is A Guide to Grief and Living Broken Open. And I think this idea of, you know, what it means to live broken open is experience of pain and suffering cause us, you know, life in general causes us to break in a thousand ways. And what I experienced is, you know, we have a choice, and we can either live broken and let that pain close us off to the world. We can become hardened. And that was definitely a part of my process of grief that I had to kind of learn to accept, where, you know, I went through this period where I was really closed off to people because I had experienced what it was like to love so deeply, you know, this was my person. And to lose that was so painful that for a while I had this mentality of like, I'm not going to open up myself to people again because losing is just so painful and I don't want to go through this again. So I closed myself off to people, whether that was knowingly or subconscious. And I became so angry at God and angry at people. And it made me so bitter. And I think it's easy for us to do that, but I think we also have a choice to let this open us in a way where I know that from experiencing deeper lows, it has expanded my bandwidth to experience higher highs. And the deeper that we actually experience pain and suffering, I think we get to experience higher levels of joy and peace that I had never experienced before. And so really learning to just let the brokenness open us and to let that carry us in the way that we perceive life after an experience that, you know, is so painful.
Catherine, I'm not going to let you leave this grief and living broken easily, because I'm going to tell you the truth. Just the thought of you saying things like, well, you know, I got hurt, so I shut off to the world and I was never going to get hurt again. As a middle-aged man, I think we all have experiences in life where we haven't allowed that to happen. So tell me a little bit about how, from the phone call with your friend, the Focus Missions, the loss of a friend, the writing that really opened that up for you, probably at a deeper level, how are you different today from when you first, even at the funeral, talking to Curtis Martin? Like, walk us through a little bit of your grief, because I feel like those listening might be able to connect some of their own stories to what you're talking about.
I think for quite a while, especially at the funeral, I was not present in my body in a way. And I realized, like, my mind and body, I learned to trust my mind and body, I think, through the process of grief, because I realized it was doing everything it needed in order to get me through. And so instead of listening to advice on how to grieve, I learned to trust my mind and body more of it knows what it's doing. And, you know, some days I'm going to feel really numb. And I think for a long time I felt numb. I felt like I wasn't in my body. You know, I wasn't, it almost felt like it was too painful that I couldn't be present to what I was experiencing. And yeah, I think really just letting the natural progression of whatever I'm feeling come up and letting it pass has been so healing for me. And the thing that is funny about this is, you know, I wrote a book about grief, but I'm still 100% in it, you know, and I came to realize that I don't need to rush it. Like, I'm going to have a lifelong relationship with grief. If I live to be 100, I'm still going to have days where I feel like I lost Courtney yesterday, and that's okay, you know. And that's why I use this ocean imagery, because I feel like it comes in waves, and sometimes you don't see them coming at all and it completely knocks you off. And other days you feel okay and you feel like you've accepted it in some form, but there's still days where I deny that it ever happened, and I feel like Courtney's at the airport and she's going to surprise me, and just learning to trust that whatever's coming up is okay, I think is the gist.
Now, I think for you, probably it's not just trusting your best friend. I mean, certainly that and that relationship and her, the loss in that, but I think it's probably also in just relationships in general, right? I mean, I think you've mentioned publicly before your parents' divorce, and that kind of caused you to have some grief around that, and maybe even how to have a relationship with another human. I want to stay in this ocean image for a second with you, Catherine. I was just at the ocean, so I have some mental, as you're talking, I can visualize the whole thing. But there's a strength in the ocean when you stand in front of it, and a vastness, and you know, you feel like, well, it could hurt you. But there's also a letting go and a kind of giving in to that. And I think that's what you're speaking to, right? Just sometimes if those listening want to have some mental images just floating out there for a little bit, I think we all want to control everything in our lives, and grief forces you to lose control. Is that accurate, Catherine, would you say?
100%. And that is where the open hands comes from, is because this idea of, you know, every day in prayer, I would look down and my hands would be open. And it was this imagery of surrender for me, because there comes a point where, and I think this past year with COVID, we can all kind of understand of what it looks like to realize that we aren't in control. And as humans, that's incredibly uncomfortable. But to learn that, and I talk about this in my book of, you know, there's waves where, if you've ever been in the ocean and you try to fight it and it totally pulls you under and you're kicking and don't know which way is up, like, that is how so many of us go through life. And there was a point, I think, where I learned to kind of open my hands of, like, I can't control this. This happened, and all I can do is deal with it and let whatever comes up, somehow try to trust God in the process, which is still a daily battle. But that the freedom that comes from surrendering and being like, I actually don't have control of this life, you know, there's things I can control, but if you've ever experienced being in the ocean and just floating and letting the waves take you, like that is the imagery I think I'm going for with this idea of high tides, the most raw and difficult moments of your life, and learning to just open your hands and let it take you and trusting that somehow God knows what he's doing.
I have to believe that as well. And I think Father Capon did. I mean, he's in a prisoner of war camp. His whole life is pretty much controlled, his outward life, by other people. So let's talk a little bit about today, because I know we've talked about Xavier and Focus Missions and best-selling author. And I think even for those listening that go, you know, my life seems out of control, or I'm not in the space I want to be, speaking a little bit to that, because I've always felt, Catherine, that you have this old soul, and that's a good thing. Like you have this mature old, almost like a mystic. So talk to me a little bit, and maybe talk to the audience a little bit about those who are listening that say, hey, I'm not in the season I want to be in. I'm not doing what I want to do. How do we make sense of that? And how do we move through that?
I think for me, I've kind of learned to follow peace. And I would call that soul knowledge, you know, this deeper knowledge. I think if I followed my own will, I would not have been a missionary. I don't know if I would have, there's things that I probably wouldn't have done. And I think whenever I look back at the moments that I followed my peace, those are the experiences I'm most grateful for, because I think that was God guiding me. And to learn how to listen to that instead of sometimes our desires that feel more emotional or upfront. I think if I followed my own will, I would be in California living by an ocean, and I hope to get there, for sure. But I felt like I needed to be with my family. And actually I had a moment the other day where I was driving and I was thinking about, when I was with Focus and I was at a conference and listening to this woman speak to thousands of people. And I remember looking at her bio, and it was, she was an author and a speaker. And I had this desire in my heart. God was really tugging of like, I want to do this. I want to do this. Because I think it's the most beautiful thing in the world that words can impact people. And I think my natural avenue for that is writing. That's where I feel the most comfortable and called. But yeah, I had this moment the other day where I was like, whoa, like I am an author. And the nonprofit I'm working for now, I've been speaking at different young adult events, happy hours and hikes. And it was beautiful to see the way that, wow, God put these desires in my heart and he's been fulfilling them. They look maybe completely different than what I thought, but I know that I'm on this path, and to just trust that whenever I follow that God tug, that peace, that will be greater than anything I could ever envision for myself.
All right, Catherine, I'm going to throw you a little curveball. As the listeners know, most of the questions I send you in advance, but I'm going to give you an opportunity, Catherine, to speak to our audience directly. And I'm going to ask you, as a young adult and as a young woman, first and foremost, speak to the fathers that are listening right now about what their daughters want to hear. I don't know your relationship with your own father, but I know there were times where it was strained. And maybe just speak to those fathers first. And then secondly, I'm going to give you an opportunity just to speak to our audience in general. But let's start with the fathers. Like, you got 90 seconds. You got an open mic. Share it. Go from your heart. Just talk to us about what these, what our daughters want to hear, and maybe even what we want to hear.
It's a good question. I definitely view God as a father, and I came to view him as a father at a pretty young age. I think to reflect that for your daughters is so important, to feel, to make sure that they know that you're a safe place and that your arms are always open, and that you're a protector. You know, I've come to experience God as the defender of my heart. And to make it very clear to your daughters, your children, that that is what you are doing and that you're emanating the Father's love through who you are.
Come on, Catherine, that's solid. Like, when you start talking, I get fired up as a father. So now talk a little bit to, there are women that listen to the podcast as well, but we always try to give our guests 90 seconds at the very end that, like, hey, here's something I didn't say, I want to say. Tell people how to find your book. Tell people how to connect with you. Tell people, those listening, just give them a little bit of push or inspiration as we close up.
You can find my book on katherineplazinski.com. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, my handle is at katherineplu, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E-P-L-U. And the link to buy my book from Pina Publishing is in my bio. So those are the two places that you can buy my book. Thanks for listening. And I just encourage everyone, wherever they're at, to know that God is a deeply personal God, and he's with you in your suffering, closer and more intimate than you can ever imagine. And he's not a distant God. He's not up in the sky watching you in pain. He's weeping with you.
All right, Catherine, before I ask you to pray us off the podcast, something came up when you were just talking about your book and your connections and Instagram and all those kinds of things. I know I started a book during COVID as well. And you wrote a book, published a book in the time it's taken me, basically. I'm still writing the book and doing it. So to anybody listening right now who's a potential aspiring author, Catherine, give us a little bit about how that process worked for you. Not all of us will be best-selling authors, but I think it's a healing process to write a book. I've spent hours late at night at my computer, and it's been beautiful for me personally, if it never gets published. But talk to us a little bit about that process, and maybe why that process is important for everybody.
The process was so healing. Obviously, I'm glad it's published. I'm glad it got bestseller. But I think even if I just wrote the entire thing and it remained on my computer, I would be a different person from the experience itself. So if you're a creative in any way, I think find a way to express yourself and speak your truth, even for yourself, because I learned so much just about my own self, my own healing, my own process, just through writing it. I think there's moments where, you know, I was at the computer and something came out of my fingers that I didn't even know. And I'm looking at this like, whoa, I didn't even know I felt that. And it was such an intimate process that it's almost been weird publishing it and having it out there, because I think of the nights that, you know, I'm writing about her funeral or, these things that I hadn't even really spoken to people about, and I'm having to write them detailed, and I'm sobbing, and it was just incredibly cathartic and healing for me. And I'm so grateful to be able to share that with other people. But if you have something on your heart, do it. And that's the thing. I listened to the polls and I felt like God, you know, like I said, this poured out of me, and I very much trust that whoever needs to see it, God will make see it. I have faith in that. So just do it, just start it. And I think it flows pretty naturally.
So there's usually a challenge at the end of these podcasts. And I think Catherine just gave you the challenge. Sit down and write it. If for nothing else, for your children, for your grandchildren, to have your story. We're in a world where we sometimes miss each other's stories. So I just challenge you all to do it. It's hard, but it's a powerful process. Catherine, you've been a blessing. I'm going to continue to pray for you, the ministry, the speaking ministry, the books. I'm sure there'll be more books coming. But I want to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, just to pray us off the podcast today.
Sure. Thanks, Joe. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for Joe and the gift that he is, the way he radiates God's truth and light, as a father, as a speaker. God, I ask that you are with every single person listening right now. I ask that you completely wash them over with peace. I hope that they feel your presence. They feel you holding them. They feel you near. They feel you on a daily basis in the way that you love and pursue each of them individually, uniquely on a daily basis. God, I ask that we continue to do your will, that we continue to please you and make you known. In all of this, I pray, amen. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Thanks, Catherine, for joining us in the Foxhole today and talking about, among other things, the healing path from grief. A big part of Father Capon's ministry was caring for those who lost a friend, son, brother, or father during the war. And your words encourage us to reach out, like he did, to those who might be hurting. The challenge this week is to think of someone who might be farther along the grief process, at least as far as time goes, but who might still be feeling the loss of their loved one. Either pray for them or reach out and see how they are doing. Your love and care might be a huge help in the process of healing for this person. That's all we have today. Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
We can surely expect that in our own lives, there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.